Tonight on the Roadhouse, we're going to be talking about an event coming up at North House on the 24th of October at 7 p.m., and that's a film preview of pretty much 100% Scandinavian, which is a new release from Stefan Quinth Camera Q Production. Stefan Quinth has been making films since 1976 professionally, mainly about natural world and cultures, and in some 40 countries. He's won awards in film festivals in the U.S., Estonia, and Russia. And Bill Beyer is the former head of the American-Swedish Institute. Together, they've been traveling throughout Minnesota, North Dakota, and Wisconsin, creating this film. I want to thank both you guys for joining us here tonight.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
It's quite an adventure making a film of any type, but it must be fun for you guys to visit with folks from Scandinavia to learn about the changes that happened as they got here. But I'm a little bit curious. Many of the Scandinavians who immigrated here were maybe two generations ago. Did you have any trouble finding folks who have more recently immigrated or people who are still around from that earlier, what I perceive as most of the immigrants coming a little earlier in time?
Oh, Scandinavian America is alive and well in Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
And part of it has to do with the presence of institutions that each of the Scandinavian groups has created here. And the immigration continues. I, for example, am married to a teacher, born, raised in Gothenburg, Sweden, drawn over here for a summer institute at Luther College in Decorah, Iowa. And now we have two bilingual daughters in their 30s.
Yeah, so like you say, it is still happening. It's still, I wonder if, just on a side note, if there's much going the other direction. Did you look into that at all? Are there Americans that are moving to Sweden, Americans particularly of that extract?
Oh, yes. We have many friends in Sweden that are born here in this country.
Uh-huh.
And I just talked to my wife. She's an American, too. But we're spending winters in Sweden mostly. And she was just preparing the Thanksgiving party in November.
Well, I'm a Swedish immigrant, a couple generations further up the pike from when my grandfather got here, and that immigration has always kind of fascinated me, especially as it's fit into the culture here in Cook County and Grand Marais. It's primarily Norwegian and Swedes here. What did you find as far as hearing about that immigration process, and especially of the earlier immigration processes? I know here it was many of the folks that originally got here didn't even speak English.
That's right. And it was an effort to become competent in English. We're hearing from the older folk who are in their 80s, who themselves, 70s and 80s, who themselves now are the children of the immigrant generation, that their parents urged them to become fully competent in English, and as a group avoided speaking Norwegian or Swedish or Danish or Finnish at home. Times have changed. There are institutions like Concordia Language Villages. There's instruction in the Scandinavian colleges. It's easy for folk to go back and forth. One can call up Swedish TV through the internet on one's computer. So in some sense, one doesn't have to make quite the same final decision as earlier.
Yeah, I imagine in the earlier migration, once you were here, you really couldn't afford to go back again. You were here for the opportunity that this country gave. But I'm also curious, as we talk about language, as I travel the world, people often pick up that I'm from the Midwest or I speak Minnesotan, more or less. Do you think that Scandinavian influence has an effect on how we speak here in the Midwest?
I think so. I was at the University of Minnesota for 25 years as an administrator and member of the graduate faculty in American Studies. And I know of one graduate student who studied Minnesotan English and who found decided traces of both German and Scandinavian languages in how it is that people speak English in the upper Midwest.
As far as this process of making the film, as I mentioned earlier on, that both you and Stefan traveled primarily in Minnesota, visiting different folks and looking at culture inherited from the Swedish immigrants. How did you find the people to talk to? What was that process about as you traveled along? What led you to different spots?
Oh, we found people everywhere. It was a lot of times they found us too. We talked to some people and they told us that you should go this place. And of course, we did some research to see what areas and what cities would have the Scandinavian culture. And there were clubs and we were just overwhelmed of the amount of people to talk to. And I think that we have talked to more than 150 people so far. Great people, great stories. And that's why this first film, that's just an introduction. We're going to come up with more films, hopefully one or two every year for a few more years.
The material is extremely plentiful and rich. I was surprised as we went around how easy it was to find folk who were able to speak Danish or Norwegian or Swedish, and with a little prompting, and some with no prompting at all. And so the film has stretches that are in one or another of the Scandinavian languages with subtitles. And when we take the film to Sweden in February, we'll, of course, subtitle it in the opposite direction.
Could you talk a little bit about some of the aspects of culture, what parts of it that you see stand out as you talk to these folks that you could say, hey, this is part of our Swedish culture that's moved over here?
I would say food is a big part of the culture. Jokes.
Ole and Lena?
You know, I've been collecting Ole and Lena stories, a lot of funny stories. I think the traditions keep the Scandinavians together. Christmas, of course, is big. Midsummer is big. They seem to have a lot of fun together. Something I discovered, and I know this since other projects, is when you show up with a camera, all these traditions, all these memories, all these things that they take for granted comes to life. Everything, so when we go places and there's a few people gathered, they start to talk about, you know, what it used to be and the language and the Scandinavianness. And I think that most of the time, I would say all the times, they have been so happy to talk to us. Because they said, one place they said, you know, we gather here every Thursday or once a month, and we just sit here and talk about how sick we are and, you know, all the everyday things and about food and stuff. But when they did get to think about fun things, stories to tell us, they got so happy and they just wouldn't stop. And I like that.
You know, one of the things I think that may be a powerful aspect is the religion that they brought with them. Did you find that a part of it?
I think so too, yeah. Everybody is somewhat connected to church, it seems like. All the Scandinavians who came here were members of churches. And the church was also a very important meeting place. And it still is. And so that's also very important, yes.
I know that you spoke to at least one person here in Grand Marais, and that being Gunnar Eriksson,
yeah.
who's getting on in years, but that had to be a rich conversation in itself.
It was wonderful. Gunnar was, he had memories from way back, and he had so many interesting and fun things to tell us. It's hard to, I mean, people, when you meet people like that, it's just hard to leave. You wish you could stay there, you know, all day or several days, just talk and talk and talk. He was one of the highlights, I think, of this whole project.
Did Gunnar talk much about the process of Americanization, about the changes that he had to make to this culture?
He talked, no, not directly.
Uh-huh.
But he and his spouse talked about their courtship. They talked, Gunnar talked about serving the Salvation Army in St. Paul and how that process of serving an immigrant community has changed over time. He talked about how comfortable he feels, how attracted he was to Grand Marais. And he didn't say explicitly, as I remember, but the implication was that there was a real resonance with what he remembered from home. He spoke movingly of remembering home and the home farm. He spoke movingly of the vitality of Payne Avenue in St. Paul, and calls it, remembers it being called Snus Boulevard.
Yeah, so there were a lot of fun aspects that Gunnar's able to bring back, and I think every immigrant has their own experience about how they fit in here and whether it was easy or not. It had to be a little easier for the Scandinavians here, Sweden particularly, because there were so many of them that came here.
To some extent, in the film, however, we talk with David Lannegren, who is a professor at McAllister College and who studied Swede Hollow in St. Paul. And he talks compellingly of the tensions with the Irish, how it was to come with less competence in the language than could qualify you for the labor market readily, and yet how determined the immigrants were to use education and hard work and dependability to create a new life. There's also stretches, not with Gunnar precisely, but he does actually talk, too, about the difficulties of coming from a Sweden at the time, still in the 20s, that was experiencing deep poverty in several places, and how that drove people out of Sweden and drove them into American society and up the socioeconomic order.
It seems to me that that same projection is happening with other cultures now. It's just they're coming from, whether it's Somalia or wherever, they're going through a similar process. But
I think that's a real good insight. The American Swedish Institute here in Minneapolis had a very interesting dialogue last spring where 50 Somalis and 50 Swedish Americans came together to talk about what it is to imagine oneself in a new environment, to be an immigrant. And the Swedes were talking from a couple of generations of getting settled, the Somalis from just getting settled, and it was eye-opening in both directions.
Mm-hmm. Here in Grand Marais, we've now got the North House Folk School, which has entered our cultural landscape these last few years, which pretty much focuses on arts and crafts of different cultures out there, but quite a bit of Norwegian traditional crafts. Do you see those things, as you moved around the Minnesota landscape, out there being passed down, traditional abilities to create things?
Yes, we have seen quite a few places and things that they pass on. I love the wood carving. We've been filming the wood carvers here in Minneapolis, and a group of fun people. And we have been visiting other places where they do handicraft, and I think that is something you see a lot of. And we've been trying to get that in the film as well, because it's important.
Yeah, it's something that you physically see, whether you go to a museum or you go anywhere.
And that's nice when they do something, especially on when you have interviews. We have people. It's so nice when they do something, with their hands. They're moving around. It's so much easier to talk to them. They're more relaxed. If you just put them in a chair and they sit still, they get a little nervous. But if they do something, they make food, they wood carve, they do something else, they come to life, and that turns out so much better.
Bill, what do you remember the most about this experience for yourself? You've been a big part of this culture of Sweden and this movement to America, but in this process of making this film, was there any surprises out there, or new things or new concepts that came to you?
Yes. I went into this project imagining, first of all, that it would be pretty straightforward and pretty quickly done, that we'd do a film and we'd have it packaged and finished. I have been astounded by the wealth of material. Not that I didn't know the vitality was out there, but the stories are so rich. And to also work with a professional filmmaker and watch how much time it takes to create an hour's worth of film. We've got some aerial footage that is seconds long, but it took us in excess of 4 hours to manage all of what had to happen to go into those seconds of filming. The other thing that has struck me is I have a bias toward seeing the vitality of contemporary Scandinavian America. I have lived in the midst of it. And I was eager to have young people represented in the film because I know they're out there. Stefan has convinced me that we need to look to the older generation because they have more to tell. The depth of their experience is greater. The breadth of their technical capabilities are greater. Kids are out there, but they'll have their stories to tell in 25, 30 years when they have come to understand the necessity of holding a tie that orients them in our fast-paced, heterogeneous society.
We've been speaking with Bill Beyer, and Bill is a former director of the American-Swedish Institute here in St. Paul. No, it's Minneapolis, isn't it, Bill?
It is Minneapolis.
Minneapolis. And also Stefan Quint. Stefan is a film director with Camera Q. He's an award-winning film director. He and Bill have combined to make a documentary pretty much 100% Scandinavian, and that is going to be shown October 24th at the North House Folk School at 7 p.m. Bill and Stefan, I want to thank you so much for joining us here today and filling us in on this project. We look forward to seeing that film and enjoying it. And I believe you mentioned that there will be some follow-up film coming because of the amount of material.
Well, thank you, too. Yes, absolutely. We don't know how many. The first film is called Saga 1, mm-hmm. and we might end up with quite a few, but it might take a few years to finish up all of them because there's a lot of work and a lot of footage to go through. But we also continue. We're filming today, did a few interviews today, and there's just so much out there. So we decided that it's too late to stop now.
That's great. That's good news for us. Thank you so much for joining us here today.